With the 23rd pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver, LSU.
Rush throws downfield, looking for Thomas again. He's got it, and LSU strikes back quickly.
This dude's no slouch now. He put up huge numbers, and most of it deep down the field, a true vertical weapon.
Daniels fires downfield, and coming back to make the catch is Thomas. Makes a man miss, and will score! A second lightning strike.
He's a guy that brings a skill set that we haven't necessarily had.
I believe Brian Thomas Jr. is very underrated. I think Brian Thomas Jr., if developed correctly, could turn out to be one of the receivers, one of the best receivers from this year's draft.
1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Dylan Denmark.
All right, good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday to you. Second day of May, moving further away from the NFL draft. You heard Tony Pauline in that clip say that if developed correctly, Brian Thomas Jr. could be one of the best receivers in this draft. Well, we'll talk with Tony Pauline coming up later on this hour. Good morning, Tony Smith.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
We're not going to know if he's going to be developed properly just yet.
Oh, come on. It's been 3 days.
You don't. You got a pretty good feel for it? Got it locked in?
Yeah, I mean.
What percentage out of 100?
He's been here for 6 days, man. Like, it's
come on.
It's
what
time.
Percentage out of 100 will he hit in terms of his potential, would you say? I got a number in mind.
85?
Dang, I had 87. I had 87. Pretty good. We're thinking the same. Pockets, how are you this morning?
Gucci.
Are you?
Yeah.
Really? What
Not
makes
really.
You particularly Gucci today?
I woke up.
It's a general here. Feeling. Has nothing to do with the slovenly appearance
right.
that you've thrown together today.
Right. No. These clothes were just on the floor. I was like, all right, these are good.
They were there, right? Yep. If they don't smell too badly.
Yeah, you always got to give the sniff test. The sniff test, and then you go out the door.
Yeah.
That's how I do it anyway.
Tony, you never lived in a dorm, right? Or
no.
Did you?
No.
Okay. Pockets, you live in a dorm?
Never.
Yeah, I went to the laundry pile. Anybody who's lived in a dorm, maybe not anybody, but there are guys who've lived in a dorm know what I'm talking about. You go to the pile and you find the thing that smells the least offensive out of it because they're all dirty at that point. Like literally all your clothes are on the floor, and yeah, I can probably roll with that.
This will work
for an afternoon.
It's got one more day in it.
I can get, all I got to do is get one more week out of the pile, Tone, until I have my mom sends me $10 and I can do some coin laundry.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, I shrunk all my shirts, man, first time around. Now I'm like phobic of using the dryer for anything. I had all these nice, like dressy casual shirts, and sleeves went halfway up the forearms when I was done with them, and it was not the best.
Yeah.
All right. So today, we're kind of starting to look at what's left for the Jacksonville Jaguars here. Tony Pauline will join us to give us his thoughts on what the Jags did in the draft. Yesterday, I was surprised, to be honest with you. And, like, I don't go in and look necessarily. Like, I don't know if Tony's done a draft grade for every team. I haven't gone and done the breakdown. I was pleasantly surprised by how positive Chad Ryder of NFL.com was by the haul, Tone. Probably more positive than, you and I think have been like, all right, there's some good things here and there's some wait and see. But I thought Chad thought they actually got more value than maybe anybody I've heard describing the Jaguars draft this year.
Yeah, he was certainly higher on the draft than I was, and it was cool to hear it.
Me too, and I'm not, like, hating the draft.
No. Right? It was just nice to hear someone that was willing to be that positive about what the Jaguars did in the draft, and then you come back to the world who wants to be very negative about what the Jaguars did. And that's just, that's par for the course. It's
right.
How it works.
Honestly, I think, I'm going to dig up the numbers on the Balky poll yesterday. I thought it was pretty positive on the job that he's done up until this point. Today, we're asking, where they can still fill in some gaps, the Jacksonville Jaguars, if they're going to go out there and get themselves a veteran player for depth. Okay, it's that third wave of free agency now. Mm-hmm. With the draft is coming gone, you're starting to see a handful of veterans get signed around the National Football League. And this isn't saying what they are going to do. It's what you would like them to do, what you'd be more comfortable with.
Yes.
Like, where do you feel like you need a little reinforcement on this team? Because, like, frankly, Tony, I look at the cornerback position, And I think they have big expectations for Ronald Darby. Mm-hmm. By the way, they – now, I do think they tried to trade up. We've heard a couple of times, maybe trade into the first round. You can presume that would have been corner. And maybe in the second round, presuming that could have been for one of those corners that was lingering around there. But they, the fact that they didn't go all in on it makes – you know what I mean? Like, you can get a deal done if you're willing to throw more and more draft capital at it. Just look what the Minnesota Vikings did in the deal to move up to 17 with the Jags. Mm-hmm. So the fact that they didn't feel the panic to do that, you know, part of it leads me to believe that, you know, they think, again, the big question is health with Ronald Darby, and I think that's it. If he plays, and if he plays 15 games for you, I think he's going to be a pretty good player.
Yeah.
That's the question. How many games are you going to get out of him?
Yeah, when he's healthy enough to play, he's been really good in his NFL career. And, you know, we've talked about this a little bit. It's one of those where you know you're going to have to – he's going to miss some time, right, at some point in the season. That's just what his career has told you. He's going to miss some time at some point in the season. You hope it's nothing that's so serious that it cost him half the year or that kind of thing. But odds are he's going to miss about a month of the 17 games that they play this year, and you have to have some kind of plan. You know, it's not unheard of that players that are starters in the NFL miss some time.
Of course.
Right? Like, that's part of the reason why addressing at least your depth with the resources that you have at your disposal is an important thing to do. It doesn't mean that you have to have seven starting caliber corners on a roster to feel any good about it.
You're not going to.
Right. You just have to have guys that, look, if he has to play, we feel okay with it. Right? It's the better thing at backup quarterback. Right? It's not, yeah, this is the guy
we
want starting.
Do we have enough around him to cover up any deficiencies
right.
he has?
He's good enough that we're not dead if he plays. Right? Like, that kind of depth for your team. And corner is something that they could at least be looking at here in the third wave of free agency. But I'm with you. I feel okay about the depth chart at corner right now. But
it's
I
okay.
Feel...
It doesn't mean I wouldn't want to add more to it. Like, I said,
yeah.
Xavien Howard, I mean, go knock on the door of some veteran guys who've
Absolutely.
Shown that they're good man coverage players, right? And see what they got and see what they're looking for. And if their expectations are Xavien Howard's going to roll in here and be the top guy on the depth chart, well, we're not going to pay you like that. I don't think we're going to do that at this stage in the proceeding. So before we get to today's official question of the day, this is yesterday's. Granted, this is a very small sample size, just a little over 500 votes, right? Mm-hmm. And it's only the people that take the time to vote. But oftentimes the angry people vote the most. But I think right now, you know, it ebbs and flows. You know, depends on you get the right thread. There's still a lot of anti-Balky venom out there, but I think it's concentrated, right? I'm seeing more people tell me that I've been a doubter, a skeptic, and I'm not fully converted, but I'll give the devil his due. He's done a solid job. Something like along those lines, right? Mm-hmm. And that heartens me because, you know, this if he does it, it's therefore a bad move. There's some of that out there.
Yeah.
I think we talked about that a little bit yesterday. You know, if GM X does the same thing with Brian Thomas, it's this grade. If the Jags do it, is the whole thing with Xavier Worthy. Jags draft 165-pound wide receiver. I think that people are looking at him kind of cockeyed, and the Chiefs trade up to do it. Everyone goes, oh, that's brilliant. Mm-hmm. So we had over 500 votes yesterday. Tony, what politician wouldn't take a 70% approval rating, right? I mean, seriously, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like 45% is good anymore. Like, once you get elected, everybody hates you. So anyway, which of these choices best describes how you feel about the job Jacksonville Jaguar general manager Trent Baalke has done so far this offseason? Great job, 12%. Good job, 58.5%. So over 70%. Mm-hmm. Average at best, 25.8. So, you know, I'll call it 30% of the fan base not happy, below average or a bad job, 3.5%. That's the one that, all right, you know, you're entitled to your opinion. I don't get the bad job. Somebody went through chapter and verse with me last night on all the mistakes that Baalke has made this offseason. I think this just goes to show there's reasonable criticism of the things the Jags have done. I think we reasonably criticize the Jags when it's appropriate. But guy goes, got rid of two proven veteran receivers or two proven receivers for a one-game wonder and a rookie. presuming the one-game wonder is Gabe Davis because he once scored four touchdowns in a playoff game, mm-hmm. right? Well, Gabe Davis, as I pointed out, scored 27 touchdowns in four regular seasons, averaging over 16 yards a catch. Zay Jones, I'm not trying to trash the man, but Zay Jones came in. The resume he had when he got to Jacksonville isn't a fraction of what Gabe Davis has done
yeah.
in Buffalo at this point. And in fact, through 8 years, he has only 18 touchdowns, and he averages around 11 yards a catch. He's not explosive like his speed indicates. His time speed is really good. He's a good player. But when you start talking about he's a proven receiver and Gabe Davis is a one-game wonder, you're clueless.
Yeah, like, at worst, they're very comparable players.
At worst, right. than Gabe Davis is. I mean, that's the
yeah, right.
Gabe Davis is a more proven player than Zay Jones has ever been in the National Football League at this point. Doesn't mean he's going to be great. I'm not saying that. But to say that they just signed him because he had one big game in the playoffs. Hey, oh, by the way, I don't hate it if you want to go off in the playoffs, right? Like Gabe Davis has played some of his best football in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Okay, so we moved on from Calvin Ridley, who's definitely more proven than Zay for a rookie. Just when you say a rookie, that's like saying any rookie. So if it was Marvin Harrison Jr., he's just a rookie, right? Mm-hmm. They just drafted a rookie. We're counting on a rookie in Arizona this year to do well. It's not the same as just taking a flyer on a guy in the sixth round here, man.
Right.
Guy led the nation in touchdowns. I don't know if Brian Thomas is going to be good or great or otherwise, and I know the Jags wanted Calvin Ridley, but they also had a limit on what they're willing to spend. I don't know. Just let's, again, I think most people, there's a little bit of a lunatic fringe on both ends, right? There's the people that think everything the Jags do is perfect and every player they draft is going to be fantastic. And you just wait. This is the breakout year for Yasir Abdul, for instance, you know, and maybe it is. I hope it is, Yasir. I'm not counting on it. I'll be honest with you. And, you know, there's the other end of the spectrum as well. So there you go. Marshawn Lattimore, post-June release, said Cage of Rage. So he's looking for corner help. So today we're asking you, if the Jags were to add a free agent for depth, which position group should they target first, in your opinion? What needs the most help right now that they reasonably could go out and sign a guy and you feel a little bit better about the group? Cornerback? Edge rusher? Offensive line? Or is it something else? Another position group. I think those mm-hmm. are probably the three most still.
For sure.
You know, needy. Yeah. I couldn't imagine at this point adding a defensive tackle. Right?
Yeah.
Is that the deepest position on the team? I don't know if it's the best. Eric Armstead is among the better players, right? You would anticipate.
Yeah, you look at when you have Gotsis and Jordan Jefferson are probably the very back end
like
of that.
Like 5 and 6, something
right,
like that,
like
yeah.
going into the season.
Gotsis is like a 5 or a 6 is not terrible at
no,
all.
No, not at all. And so, yeah, like they've put themselves in that kind of place where you do have Roy Robertson-Harris and Eric Armstead, and we'll see what happens with Mason Smith and Devon Hamilton, whatever's going to happen with Devon Hamilton. But then, you know, that's too deep on your depth chart.
Well, you got rid of Pauly Fatukasi, and you've got Smith and Armstead.
Right. So then you have a fourth-round pick that you made this year in Adam Gotsis, who's been a good pro. Right? Like that's
a fourth-round pick and Adam Gotsis. Yeah. Yes. Jefferson and Gotsis. Right.
So, okay. That's your depth chart or defensive tackle. You're doing all right.
Right. And barring injury, that's what they're rolling with this year. That's who they've got. So,
and what does that leave for, you know, a Tyler Lacy or a Ledbetter?
Good luck making the team.
Right? Like that kind of thing.
Ledbetter's a nice player now, too.
Yeah.
You know, again, as a depth guy, I'm not talking about this guy you want starting every week. He's a solid player to have.
Absolutely.
On your 53, right? Depending on how many you're going to roster. Tyler Lacy's got to get on his horse this offseason to make the team. There's no question about it, you know?
That was the Jefferson last year.
We'll see if he's able to do it.
Yeah.
So we already have nearly 270 votes on that one. Corner, edge, O-line, something else. If the Jags are going to add something for depth, you can hit us up on social media, on X or Twitter, at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Denmark.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. I love it. I haven't gotten tired of Eddie O. quite yet. 641-1010 on the All-Pro Roofing phone lines or on the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. Hit us up in the YouTube chat in the virtual studio over there, and let's talk Jaguar football. Tony Pauline, by the way, at 1040. Big Meech, Demetrius Harvey, buried the lead there, joining us at 11:20 today from the Florida Times Union with his look back and not only what the Jags did in the draft, but just kind of the offseason as a whole up to this point. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Dylan Denmark here with you. If you're on the line, we'll get to you coming out of the break. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Dylan Denmark here with you. Jaguars Today, 1010XL, 92.5 FM as we move along and take a look at what the Jags need to do for a little bit of depth this offseason. Tony, part of it depends on what's out there. There always seem to be a handful of edge rushers, though, like veteran types.
Mm-hmm.
That, and it wasn't just last year. Like, teams signed guys in August, and they come in and get eight sacks for you.
Young was signed in Chicago in August.
Right. And they come in and they get eight sacks for you off the bench in a lot of cases. You know, Jadeveon Clowney had one of the best, in terms of pass rush, might have had the best year of his career last year, signing pretty late with Baltimore and parlayed that into a new contract with Carolina. So there's always something out there. I think there are corners that can help you, but, you know, it's interesting. I think the edge rushers that become available are often guys that are vets looking for the best landing spot. Like the guys you'd be interested in, right? Like the Clowney, Kyle Van Noy, Yannick Ngakoue level. Guys that are used to playing a lot. They want to wait for the right situation. They're not just chasing the last dollar out there. They want to sign on with a team that has an opportunity to use them and is a team that has a chance to go fairly deep in the postseason. Like that's the group that I'm usually interested in.
Mm-hmm.
You look at corner. You got Xavier Howard and you got Stephon Gilmore. And there are always a couple of big name guys out there, but you don't know how much they have left in the tank. Like, I feel like you can get a more economical edge rusher than you can that level corner. You know, if you're Howard, you're used to starting pretty much your entire career. You want to come to Jacksonville and battle it out with Ronald Darby.
Right. Looking at the list of free agents that are still available at edge, and then we'll go to the corner list here in a moment. But the available free agents at edge, Emmanuel Ogba, Yannick Ngakoue, Carl Lawson, Jerry Hughes, Charles Harris, DeJuan Smoot, Bud Dupree, Tyus Bowser, Marquise Haynes, Raheem Green. Now you're getting to the bottom of the list there. Shaq Lawson also still available.
Give me the top three or four names you had.
Let's see. Emmanuel Ogba.
Okay.
Yannick Ngakoue.
Okay.
Carl Lawson. Jerry Hughes.
Like Jerry Hughes is a guy, you know, who's come off the bench. He's old now, right? Jerry Hughes got to be 36 years old.
He's getting up there.
Something like that, right? And I don't know what he's got left in the tank, but that's the kind of guy that if the Jags do add somebody, I don't think it's going to be anytime soon, by the way. Do you get the sense that they're
no.
Like, I think we might have already seen some moves.
Yeah, he's 35 years old, turns 36 in the middle of August.
He had 9 sacks 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, but he's been, you know, here's 4 of his last 5 years, 4.5, 4.5, 2, 3, and he had the 9 sack season. So is that enough to move the needle? Like, can we get 3 out of Yusuf Abdullah? You know what I mean? Like, is it worth it to bring in another guy, maybe slow the development? I don't know. There's any development going on with Yusuf Abdullah.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, he was a game day healthy scratch often last year. So do they see him as an ascending piece that can still be part of the rotation? Or do they see him as a guy now that they're going to more of a 4-3 base
strong
look?
Strong side linebacker. Yeah.
Right. Is he a strong side linebacker or is he just not a good scheme fit anymore?
Something like that. And looking at the free agent corners that are available still, Xavier Howard, as we've talked about, Stephon Gilmore, Adoree Jackson.
Another guy.
Yep. Patrick Peterson.
How old's Adoree Jackson? He's had some injuries. I'm going to guess.
It's been a weird 30, career for him.
Three?
Yeah.
Is he that old? Adoree Jackson?
He came out like 2016, 2017.
Yeah, 17 he came out here. He is 28 years old.
Wow, is that it?
Yeah.
Man.
28 years old. Spent the last 3 years with the Giants. Had 2 interceptions in those 3 years.
Yeah, he had 2. Right, you look at it, it's like, what has he done? Not a ton, right?
Yeah.
He had some dual versatility. He was a decent return man early in his career, But you got that covered at this point.
Absolutely.
For this football team. I mean, I don't know if he's at this stage a whole – I mean, he had one pick last year. He took it to the house from 76 yards, but he had one interception, you know?
Yeah. Some of the other interesting names here at corner, not a whole lot.
You mentioned that, Patrick Peterson. Like, I those guys do worry me a little bit. You know, the guys that – are you looking for – what are you looking for here? Are you trying to get one more payday with no – you know, just a few million bucks that, hey, it's better than
– what did he get last year?
Had I've gotten something decent, right? He doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who's going to take that low ball, team-friendly ring check. Like, I'll chase the ring, but I want to chase it with a pretty heavy wallet.
Let's see. 2-year, $14 million deal when he signed in Pittsburgh.
That's not terrible.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see the Jags even doing something at that level, though. Like, would I like them to? Yeah, I'd see what – I'd bring in Xavier Howard and see if he wants to work out and see what he's got and look what he's – looking for. I would, because that guy has been, I mean, at one point he was, you know, and you could say this about a few of these guys on the list, was top five guy in the league, right? And I think he's a little bit younger than like Gilmore and Peterson, if I'm not mistaken. This feels like he still maybe has another good season or so.
Yeah, looking at him, he got, since he left Arizona, he went to Minnesota, he got $8 million in 2021, $4 million when he signed another 1-year deal there in Minnesota the next year. Then he signed a 2-year, $14 million deal in Pittsburgh. They've released him.
Right? This is Gilmore?
This is Patrick Peterson.
Oh, Peterson.
Yeah, this is all Peterson. Peterson got 7.15 of that $14 million last year in Pittsburgh. And the year before, he had a really good year in 2022 with Minnesota. And he was on a 1-year, $4 million deal that year, which is why Pittsburgh was likely willing to give that 2-year, $14 million deal the next year. He played okay, right, for Pittsburgh, and now he's doing the free agency thing again. And my guess would be he's going to wind up somewhere in that $4 or $5 million range.
Ronald Darby signed a 2-year, $8.5 million contract with the Jags. I don't think they'll give anyone more than that.
I don't either.
Right? Like, I don't think they're going to – because if you give Patrick, any of these guys, $7 million, you're basically saying you're the starter. And I don't think they're doing that. I think they identified Darby early in the process as a guy that they like and they think can start for this football team. Again, health is the big question with him. He's a really good player.
Yeah.
When he stays healthy, he just hasn't done it as frequently as you'd like to see throughout the course of his career. So, you know, averaging $4.25 million for the 2-year deal that he signed here. I don't know. I think they – honestly, I think a lot of the work is done in their eyes. And I could be wrong. You know, like last year, I was screaming. A lot of us were. I wasn't the only one. Many of us were screaming for edge help all off season long. Mm-hmm. Never got it. Never came. I don't feel as bad about it this year because your top two guys have taken their production to a higher level. Yeah, your depth is still questionable. Big time. But they did sign Travis Gibson, and there's a reason they signed him. Yeah. Right? And that right now is your probably next guy up, and we'll see how some of these other big guys, like, is it impossible to imagine Mason Smith has some rushes off the edge this year? I think he will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now, is he a regular part of your defensive end rotation? I'm not saying that. I do think they have some bodies that they can use creatively up front. So we'll get into that next hour with Demetrius and see what he thinks about not only what the Jags could use right now, but what they're likely to do as they still sit on a pile of cap space, apparently. And, you know, one of those things that they're likely to do is get Trevor Lawrence signed to a long-term deal. So we'll see how that works in terms of allocating that cap space early in the contract. Coming up next, though, we got Tony Pauline swinging by from Sportskeeda, who visited with us several times in the lead-up to the NFL draft. Now that the Jags have made their selections, we'll get the impressions of Tony on whether or not they got good value and good players with those picks in the 2024 NFL draft. That's coming up next. Demetrius Harvey, about 55-0 minutes away. And you can get in today at 641-1010 on the All-Pro Roofing phone lines. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Dylan Denmark here with you. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey for Awaken 180 Weight Loss. You heard Matt Hayes a lot recently talking about 40 by the 4th. Lose 40 pounds by July 4th. You got over 2 months to go to get there. You're thinking, man, that's a lot of weight. You're right, it is. That's the beauty of Awaken 180. They can make that commitment to you and help you see it through. If you look at it like 8-9 weeks, you're doing 4 to 5 pounds a week, you can absolutely get to 40 by the fourth. That may not be your goal. Maybe you've got a pesky 15 that's been lingering for a while. Waken 180 can help you at any stage of your weight loss process, whether you're just starting out in day one or maybe you lost a bunch of your weight already and it's just those lingering pounds that you can't get rid of. Well, here's the great thing with Awaken 180. Once you get rid of that weight, you keep it off. I've been able to do it since September all the way through October, November, December, January, February, March, April, now into May. Matt Hayes doing great work. Hackers dropping pounds left and right. You can be the next success story. 844-346-1800 gets you on board with Awaken 180 Weight Loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Let's ring up another guest on the All-Pro Roofing phone line. Now, more Jaguars today on 1010XL.
All right, Tony Pauline. If he's not the best in the biz, he's standing right there with him, whoever that happens to be. From SportsKita.com is one of our favorite NFL draft analysts around these parts. A big shout-out to Chad Ryder as well at NFL.com. But we welcome Tony in to recap now that we know what the Jags have done with their draft capital and to give us a look at whether they got good value or not. Tony, good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. Thanks for having me. And I'll give a good shout-out to Chad Ryder. He's a good guy. I've known him for decades.
He really is a good guy. You know, I like the both of you just can effortlessly go deep on later prospects and things like that. And it's evident, you know, you have your opinions. You're not always going to be right, but they're your opinions based on film study. So we appreciate that. So let's get to it. Let's start with the good stuff. I think you like the Brian Thomas Jr. pick. You had come on with us and told us that would be a good selection for the Jaguars. In addition to that, they move back 6 spots, pick up a future 3rd and 4th, and got a 5th-rounder this year thrown in as well. Tony, what did you make of the process and the selection in round one?
Yeah, he's a faster version of Gabe Davis, who they signed in free agency. I mean, he's a guy whose game really took off last year. He's a fluid, natural receiver. You know, that 1-2 punch at LSU with Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas made Jaden Daniels' job that much easier. He's smooth, he's fluid, he's a big target, he's a hand catcher. And then he went to the combine and ran much faster than anyone expected. And I've said all along, you know, you had your top three receivers and Brian Thomas was often, you know, a forgotten man in the conversation. But I think, you know, 2 or 3 years down the road, there's the potential that he's going to be right there, if not with those top three receivers, maybe slightly behind them as far as his NFL production.
Not surprised, because we have talked to you about Brian Thomas throughout the process, that you like the player and the pick there for the Jags. Getting beyond the first round, Mason Smith, the defensive tackle out of LSU, is where they go in the 2nd round. How do you feel about that pick there in round two?
Yeah, not a fan. I mean, Mason Smith was a real good player 3 years ago as a freshman, and then he had the injury, which he sat out in 2022. You know, this year when I watched him, it was a situation where I expected a lot and not much was delivered. It was a situation where once blocked, he stayed blocked, and he didn't show a lot of fire in his game, and I expected much more. Now you could say, well, he was coming off of the injury, but I mean, he's got potential. I just thought that the 2nd round was a bit too early for his services. I had him as a 4th rounder. I thought maybe 3rd round. He's got a lot of upside, but I think somebody's got to give him a real good kick in the rear end.
You know, Tone, and that's interesting you say that. We'll talk more about him here. There's kind of a run going on defensive tackle in the 2nd round. I think he was the 5th one to come off the board in that round. And, you know, one guy, Tony Smith here and I talked about the previous week, both Mason Smith and Trevondre Sweat, I put in the category of give me a defensive tackle that I'm going to get at a good value, because I think because of the injury with Smith and the off-the-field issues with Sweat, they both fall. Then you see Tennessee jump up and take Sweat at, like, pick 38. You know, do you think the Jags just said, look, the way they're flying off the board, all it takes is one team to covet what we see in Mason Smith, and we can't take a chance? You think that's kind of how it played out?
Well, I think he was probably the highest player on their board at that time at a position that they felt was of need. So they had him that highly graded. I don't think that, you know, you got to be careful even when there's a run on a position. Well, even though we may have a 4th round grade or a 3rd round grade on this guy, let's take him in the 2nd round. And I don't know that's the situation with the Jaguars, but I think you've got to be careful with that, because then you overdraft players. Could that be the situation? Well, quite possibly, but in my mind or my opinion, it doesn't justify taking Mason Smith at least a round earlier than he should have gone.
I know I've talked about since the draft ended, Tony, I've been excited about the Jarian Jones pick there in the third round, the cornerback out of FSU, because of the numbers we've seen from him the last couple of years. How did you react to that being the pick, the first pick the Jags made at corner, a position that was circled as one of need for them going into the draft?
Hey, he needs a lot of work on his game. He's got decent size. He's a good athlete. He's fast. But when you watch the film, he does a lot of face guarding. So he's got to learn to make plays with his back to the ball, get that head back around and track the pass in the air rather than playing the receiver's hand. He's a guy who, coming into the season, really was not on the radar, on the scouting radar, really picked it up during the year, had a couple of good days of Shrine Bowl practice. I don't know whether they're going to use him in man coverage or in zone. He's got a lot of upside. But he's got a lot of things that he's got to iron out in his fundamentals.
Well, I think the feeling is the Jags want to play a lot more zone. And, yeah. You know, Ryan Nielsen even talked about, you know, there are times when we're in zone that we press our corners up a little bit and it looks like man. So people think we're in man all the time. So I do think that they like his man coverage ability, Tony. And apparently he graded out pretty well in that category last year.
Again, just watch the game film. He's got to get his head back around and track the pass in the air. He's got to stop doing the face guard. And you can face guard in college and make a lot of plays. Now, what happens is, you know, they'll watch the film. They'll see the size, the height, weight. They'll see the computer numbers. And football coaches do exactly that. They coach football. So they'll say, well, we'll teach Jarian Jones to get his head back around, track the pass in the air, and position himself against receivers to make plays.
Getting into day three of the draft now, round four, the Jags get Javon Foster, offensive tackle out of Mizzou. What do you think the long-term prospects are for him coming into the league?
A lot of upside. Probably could have gone third round, an athletic guy who's got excellent size, played left tackle at Missouri for a couple of years, decent footwork, good movement skills, got to get an NFL weight training program, got to get rid of the body fat, got to improve his blocking balance. But I think that this was an excellent pick. And, you know, you don't know what's going to happen in camp with Cam Robinson after the next season or so. You got Anton Harrison there. I think Foster's a guy who played left tackle at Missouri, projects potentially to right tackle in the NFL, maybe as a guard. I thought this was an excellent pick.
Which is, you know, he can kind of redshirt this year because they also have Walker Little, you know, as their swing guy. And, you know, if he gets called in to play, so be it. But, you know, he maybe can develop in the background a little bit next year. So you think he maybe projects more as a right tackle? Anton Harrison also played left, obviously. Do you think that's the better combo, like a year down the road and into the future? Is that the most likely combo way they would use those two, in your opinion?
It was up to me. I move Anton Harrison back to left tackle, which I believe is his best position. I think Foster can play left tackle, but I think with the size and everything else, he's probably better off on the right side.
All right, so Jordan Jefferson, a lot of people think he's a good potential nose, but maybe he went too early. What was your thought on him?
I like this pick a lot. I like Jordan Jefferson in the fourth round better than Mason Smith in the second round. And people will look at the production and the numbers. Jordan Jefferson is a real, you know, you said nose tackle, punch in the face type of guy. He is mean. He is nasty. He is explosive. He is powerful. He has excellent size. I got to interview him before the draft. He participated in competitive weightlifting in high school in Florida. He's got the mental acumen to take a beating on the inside and to give a beating. A better athlete than I give him credit for. Really, at times during the Senior Bowl last February, just dominated the opposition. You could say the fourth round is a little bit early, just like second round was early for Mason Smith. But I like this pick a lot. I think this selection is going to surprise a lot of people.
Not a surprise that the Jags would spend a couple of picks at corner. They wind up going DeAndre Prince, the corner out of Ole Miss, on their first pick there in the fifth round. How do you like the player?
Yeah, I like him as much, if not better, than Jarian Jones. I mean, Prince has got excellent length. He's fast. Has to brush off some of his techniques. But he's got a high upside. I think this is an excellent selection where they got him in round five. A guy who does a good job, decent job, making plays with his back to the ball. Tested relatively well. I thought this was an outstanding pick in the fifth round.
Interesting. So it sounds like so far You like Brian Thomas a good bit in the first round. You don't like second and third round selections, but you're pretty high on the fourth and fifth on what they've done so far. Just interesting. Keelan Robinson, I read your comments on him earlier this morning. You thought too early here. I think, Tone, what is happening here, we saw in the fifth round a number of teams and into the sixth start taking guys with an eye towards a second return specialist because of the new kickoff rules. I mean, I can't imagine that's anything other than what they were thinking when they drafted Keelan Robinson here, but you think it's maybe too early, though.
Well, I mean, he carried the ball, what, 12 times last year? What happens is late in the rounds, teams start to go to the size speed guys, the guys that are really good athletes that they can develop. And that's what Keelan Robinson is. He wasn't a bad pass catcher out of the backfield. He was a decent ball carrier. He just really didn't catch. He wasn't used that much at Texas. And I agree with you. I mean, he's a good athlete who his main goal or his main responsibility and the way, probably the only way he'll make the team, is as a kick returner. And with the new rules, I mean, I could understand why they would make the selection based on the size, based on the athleticism. I just wouldn't expect much from him in the role of being a ball carrier. He's more of a gadget player, if you will. And they have a couple of those gadget players on the roster, on the depth chart. But again, Keelan Robinson's ability or inability to make the active roster come September will be how he performs in special teams returning kicks in the preseason.
And they go Cam Little in the sixth round. So they're staying on the special teams kind of direction there in the fifth and sixth round, at least late. We, you know, with them being willing to do that, we talked about with you that you didn't think the depth was particularly good in this year's draft. Is that indicative of what you expected the back half of day three to look like this year? And how much do you expect that to change for next year's draft?
I think next year's draft could be very deep because next year's draft, this was supposed to be the last year of that extra COVID year.
Right.
So what's going to happen is next year you're not going to have the sixth and seventh year seniors. I mean, if you entered college in 2020 to play football, you got to be out, to 2024. So what's going to happen, what happened was is this year you had a lot of guys that were usually free agents who ended up in the sixth and seventh round, where next year you're going to have guys who have sixth and seventh round grades that could end up as free agents because it's going to be so deep later in the draft.
All right, Tony, so Jags grab a developmental pass rusher in round seven. What was your thought there on Mason Cole?
Yeah, good upside. I mean, Mason Cole, I don't know that he's going to make the active roster, but I absolutely see him as a practice squad type of guy. He's got good length. He's very athletic. He made some plays on occasion. He's just got to round out his game. I think, again, go back to what I said. You know, in the late rounds, you're looking at the size speed guys. That's exactly what this selection was. And he's got good upside 2 years down the road. He doesn't make the active roster. They'll probably stick him or try and sneak him onto the practice squad.
By the way, my fault. I said Mason Cole. I got Mason Smith on mine, Miles Cole, and I sucked you right into it with that. Let me just circle back to Mason Smith because I think he is an intriguing piece here and may ultimately be the defining piece of how we judge this draft down the road, Tony. If the proper development comes, if the coaching helps him reach his potential, like what do you see him potentially being in the National Football League?
If you could get him back to where he was as a freshman at LSU and you get him back to that level of play and you turn those flashes into consistent production, you got a terrific starting defensive tackle. There's no doubt about it. I mean, then the pick was worth it. But, you know, that's a huge leap getting him to back to where he was two seasons ago. He has the upside. It's just that when you're drafting in the middle of round two, to take a guy when there were other players available, who are more polished, who say have less downside risk, to me, I don't know that it's worth the risk. But if you get Mason, listen, coming into the year, there were some people, not in the scouting world, but on the outside world, who thought that Mason Smith could be a first-round pick. I shied away from it. And as far as I'm concerned, go back to what I said. I expected a lot and not much was delivered.
Among the undrafted free agents that the Jaguars signed, fans seem to have circled Joshua Cephas as their kind of fan favorite to this point among that group. But what stands out to you among the players they signed?
Yeah, they did sign some interesting receivers. I like Cephus. He is a big, tall, reliable target, hand catcher, not that fast, but was a real good receiver at UTSA. Wayne Ruby from Mountain Union also probably is going to vie for some playing time on special teams as a return specialist. A smaller guy, but quick and a good route runner who separates. David White from Western Carolina. He's got excellent length. He's got excellent athleticism. Would like to see him pick up the production. I also like Stephen Jones, the offensive lineman from Oregon, a big, massive guy, fundamentally sound. If he makes the roster, which I think is an outside chance, you're looking at an inexpensive utility lineman backup who can play guard, who can play tackle, a guy that you could fill in if you need him to. Josh Proctor out of Ohio State, great football player, just not a good athlete. A guy who broke his leg beginning of the 2021 season. I was at that game against Oregon. I mean, he makes a lot of plays with his head. He just can't run well, and he's not a good athlete. But, sometimes there's use for those types of guys, and a guy like Josh Proctor, could be your ninth defensive back and a special teams player.
Could be, or the whole lot of them could, peak on the practice squad, too, which is really the most likely outcome for the majority of those guys. Tony, always appreciate the insights, and wish we had a few more visits. That's on us leading into the draft, but we'll look to crank it up again next year and continue to promote the fine work you do over at sportskeeda.com. You can find Tony at Tony Pauline, of course, on Twitter or X, and he's out there breaking it down. He's got his AFC draft grades article up there at SportsKeeda that you can check out for more detail on the Jags and the rest of their AFC competitors as well. Tone, all the best. Thanks for all the many visits, and look forward to another great year next year.
Thanks, fellas, and hopefully we'll be talking next year. Maybe the Jaguars will be picking 32nd.
Oh, there you go. There you go. That's the way to ingratiate yourself with the fan base. Tony Pauline, ladies and gentlemen, from SportsKeeda.com. is interesting, Tone, right? All right, this is going to go really poorly, right? All right, we like Brian Thomas. Yikes on Mason Smith on the value there. Yikes on Jarian Jones on the value there. Oh, wait a minute. I like the fourth round value on both of those guys. In fact, mentioned they could go in the third round and liked Prince a bunch as well. So, in fact, liked him more than Jarian Jones. Hey, we'll find out. Obviously, we will. The Jags don't, or they would have taken him higher. You know what I mean? Jarian Jones, they've got a vision for him. I think they feel really good about his fit and what they're going to ask him to do, but they got to be right. Tony Pauline, one of the best. Demetrius Harvey, about 25 minutes away. Your calls straight ahead if you want to react to anything you heard Tony say or you want to weigh in on today's question of the day. If the Jags were going to add a veteran free agent for depth at this point, you want it at corner, you want it on the O-line, edge rush, or maybe something else. That's your Chad and Sandy Real Estate question of the day. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Everything you need to know about the Jags. Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Yeah, he's a faster version of Gabe Davis, who they signed in free agency. I mean, he's a guy whose game really took off last year. He's a fluid, natural receiver. He's smooth. He's fluid. He's a big target. He's a hand catcher. And then he went to the combine and ran much faster than anyone expected. But I think, two or three years down the road, there's the potential that he's going to be right there, if not with those top three receivers, maybe slightly behind them as far as his NFL production.
There you go. That's Tony Pauline a moment ago talking about Brian Thomas Jr. coming in. If he could be slightly below, I'd want him to be better, right? Because he plays for the Jags now. But if he could be slightly below Tony, then you add in the players that they get with those other picks and what they use. That's the hope, that you're getting a better collection of assets than you would have otherwise, certainly standing pat. But, you compare that to what it would have cost you potentially to move up, particularly now that you know that Atlanta wanted the quarterback. They were never moving out of that spot. Chances are they weren't moving out of that spot. Tennessee wasn't going to deal with you. The Giants were apparently hoping to get Drake May, but were they likely to come down from 6? And what is the cost now to get up to 6 or 5, right? And it just gets exponentially worse. And so there's Chicago, takes Odunze. Would we have liked him? Yeah, but the Bears obviously liked him for themselves, right? And I get it. Keenan Allen is there, but And I think he's got like 1 year left on his deal. And so Dunze and DJ Moore will be your depth chart toppers next year, you would think, for them.
Not bad, yeah.
All right, let's get a couple of calls in, then we'll go around the league. Got Demetrius Harvey coming up in about 20 minutes. Jason in Julington Creek in a bat lead off this segment. Hi, Jason.
Hey, how's it going? Good afternoon. Favorite show on radio, bro.
Thank you, man.
Love the show.
Thank you.
I got three things, short and sweet. Lifelong Dolphins fan. I've watched a lot of Gabe Davis. Love my Jags. I think, for me, he's like that great pass rusher. His production comes in bunches with the matchups. Obviously, that may sound crazy. As far as free agent signing, I think we need to go depth at edge. I'd love to see that. There's been a lot of discussion about the O-line. I think we're going to be starting this year, at the beginning of the year, with three different guys on the O-line than we started last year. So, in a good way, it is different, and I think they'll shore it up. Love the show, guys. Go Jags.
I appreciate it. You know, they'll obviously be starting with a different left tackle.
Different left tackle, different left guard, different center.
Yeah. I'm saying, like, in terms of Cam missing time, let's hope that they can keep him healthy. You're right about that, but at no point throughout the season, you know, they talk about we had these guys play one game together. Well, it wasn't a really good game, you know, but I can't judge everything off one game and say this is how it's always going to be, right? Mm-hmm. You don't judge off people's best game, their worst game, whatever. They thought they saw something in Ezra Cleveland that made them trade for him with the idea that they were going to keep him around if he was a fit in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. And they did it at a pretty economical price based on what the market was. So we'll see. Have they done enough on the O-line? Time will tell,
no doubt.
It always does. Steve on the West Side coming up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Steve. Steve, you there? All right, he was there a second ago. Why don't we do this? Tony on the south side, Smith, that would be, taking us around the NFL.
Now, Gems Around the NFL, brought to you by Beaches Jewelry and Pawn in Jack's Beach.
I am here, Mike. It's official but unsurprising that Trevor Lawrence will be the only quarterback selected in the first round of the 2021 NFL Draft, who will have his fifth-year option picked up after news that Dallas will not pick up the option on Trey Lance. Lance joins Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, and Mac Jones on the list of first-round quarterbacks from that year not to have their options picked up. The New York Jets picked up the fifth-year option on offensive lineman Elijah Vera Tucker earlier this week. Vera Tucker said on Wednesday that he is on pace to be good to go for the season as he continues to recover from an Achilles injury he suffered last year. Free agent wide receiver Tyler Boyd has completed a meeting with the LA Chargers and is expected to meet next with the Tennessee Titans. New Orleans has agreed to a one-year deal with defensive back Will Harris, and the New York Giants have agreed to a one-year deal with cornerback David Long Jr.
All right, thank you, Tone. There's your look around what's going in other parts around the NFL. Man, so Trevor Lawrence, I heard the guys debate it this morning. Like, what kind of grade do you give on the Trevor Lawrence selection? A couple of different interesting ways to look at it. Is he the best player in that draft? Probably not. Mm. Okay? So you had the chance to take any player. Like, here's the thing. Let's say, take Trevor out of it. Mm-hmm. You had the number one pick. If Trayvon Walker turns out to be the fifth best player in the draft, is it a good pick or a bad pick? Is it an A? You had the number one pick. Could add anybody.
Yeah, but I don't think it has to be an A to be a good pick.
Okay. It's a hit.
It's a hit. Right, like you're not,
but it's not the ultimate hit.
Right, it's not hurting you to have, you know, Trayvon on the team.
And I agree with that. It's not hurting you to have Trevor on the team.
No.
Clearly, out of that quarterback class.
No,
but so Dan's point was, well, we did the draft again today. I'd take him again, right? Like now, like if you could have any player out of that draft right now, you'd start with Trevor because of the importance of the position. If you'd still take him with the pick. How's that pick not an A?
It's
was
right
Jeff's
pick.
Argument.
Yeah.
You know, it was absolutely the right pick for the Jags.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show you the value of the quarterback position. We see it. You don't want to be that team. And for everyone said, Troy, we're going to move on for Trevor after this year. First of all, you're crazy. Okay. Seriously. You're absolutely crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Like, I don't know if you're what is it? Maybe you just wanted a different quarterback. Maybe you just I don't know what it like mm-hmm. Do you realize how much better the Jags have it right now than at most points in their history at that position? I mean, the idea that they would even consider
starting over at the position. Look at what it can get you.
Yeah.
Look at all the none of those other quarterbacks even had their fifth-year option picked up by their teams. They're all scattered to the winds around the NFL. Headline, Tony, Steelers will consider using Justin Fields as a kick returner.
This is the top
headline on PFT. Jalen Warren, Steelers special teams coach, has discussed Fields returning kicks.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, like, quite frankly, if Trevor wasn't in that draft, I would have hoped the Jags drafted Justin Fields.
I'm right there with you.
And maybe he'd still be the quarterback, and maybe in a different set of circumstances, he would have had more success. Who knows, right? But the point being, everyone thought, oh, God, this is an epic quarterback class, one of the greatest of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And it not even through the rookie deals, and it's terrible.
Yeah. And you can go back and look at the first round in that draft specifically, and the only other player that I would think you'd even think about is Micah Parsons.
Micah Parsons, yes.
Right? Like, that's the one that you might pause for a second, but my pause is not long on that. It's like, yeah, Trevor.
No, but if you're – certainly if you're a team that has, like, a, let's say, quarterback 12, you know what I mean? Like, if you've got –
if you got a guy that's decent,
you might
want
the pass rusher there, but you got to already have the guy.
Absolutely. The only players from that entire draft that through the first 3 years of their career on the Pro Football Reference page where they have the added value, right? They mm-hmm. have that as one of their stats there. The only players with a higher added value, they have Micah Parsons at 50, Penei Sewell at 36, Amon-Ra St. Brown, who is a fourth-round pick.
They've all got massive deals.
Right, at 35, and Trevor Lawrence, 34.
Let me ask you this, just your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Trevor Lawrence, one-time special dispensation. Trevor Lawrence, after playing the first several years in Jacksonville, gets to re-enter the NFL draft this year.
Mm-hmm.
Where does he go?
First.
He goes first?
I think so.
I think it's defensible to say he might go second.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the top two.
Yeah.
I could see them going... We're gonna take Caleb Williams because he's a little younger, right? And whatever. But it's no worse than two.
No.
Right? And Caleb Williams is described as one of these amazing, don't come around very often type graded quarterback prospects.
Yeah, it's the same kind of conversation about him that was had about Trevor Lawrence.
With all the warts, with all the mistakes you've seen, the turnovers, all that, still only 24 years old and would have been maybe the number one pick in this draft, at worst the two. In my and with a bullet, I don't even think it would have been a question he'd been taken over Jaden Daniels.
Agreed.
Not a question. Now, Jaden Daniels could turn out to be much better. I don't know. You know, we'll find out down the road. But Ed, just curious what your thought was on that.
Well, and I think fans who are already on the, I think they can move on from him. I don't think they're seeing him for the player he actually is. Right through the first 3 years of his career, he went to a team that was bad enough to pick first when they got him. And pick first again the next year because their head coach was an abject disaster. Maybe the most embarrassing head coach in the history of the National Football League. That's what Trevor Lawrence had to deal with his rookie year here in Jacksonville. And they get a real coach in Doug Peterson, and they've won 9 games in his second and third year, right? I get it. He didn't leap forward the way a lot of us expected him to in year 3. But it's not because he's a bad player. We've talked about all the reasons that those things happen and the insanity of the portion of the fan base that is willing to say, yeah, I think they need to start thinking about when's it time to move on. That is bananas. The only question should be, is he going to sign the extension today or next week? Right? Like, that's the only question I have about Trevor Lawrence to this point through 3 years.
So, this is great. The guy just replied to a post from yesterday about Balky, worst GM in the NFL, something like that.
Okay.
Really? So the guy in Carolina who gave up what amounted to be Caleb Williams, the 9th pick in last year's draft, DJ Moore, and a second rounder next year. It's not even done being paid off for Bryce Young. He's better, right? Yeah. That's a better move.
But Carolina being stupid doesn't hurt that guy's feelings.
It doesn't hurt his feelings.
Yeah,
but
Trent Baalke.
But your feelings are getting in the way of any logic
you take it you may personal possess. When Baalke doesn't do the job
right,
you want to see him
know,
do.
Single,
and I get it.
Single worst GM. Like, you can hate him all you like. It's fine. You feel any way you like. I mean, to say he's the worst GM in the NFL is objectively dumb.
It's dumb.
I mean, to me, anyway. Let's get Steve on the west side next up here on Jaguars Today. I think we got him back. Steve, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up?
Hey, so I completely understand, you know, the comments on Trevor Lawrence. You know, he's got to play better. You know, stats are similar to Mac Jones and the quarterback up in New York area up there. Got to play better, period. And if he doesn't, he's out. It's that simple. We can't keep giving him a pass. I mean, that's all I'm saying. That's all we've done with him is give him pass after pass after pass. He's Trevor Lawrence. I get it. Got to play better.
Okay.
Bottom line.
So if he has a mediocre year this year, you think they're going to move on from Trevor Lawrence?
I think they need to look at another quarterback next year for sure.
Okay, so after they've signed him to a $250 million extension or thereabouts,
that'll be his fifth year.
You think they'll be moving on from him next year? All right, Steve.
They're talking about doing it this offseason. You can say that all you want. They're talking about doing that
crazy
now. Let it go.
Oh, my God. I mean, if this is what you're hoping for, you're delusional. And you might as well choose something else to root for. You ain't going to get what you want. It's not happening.
No.
Not happening. I think they need to move on from Trevor Lawrence. Man, new candidate for worst GM in the league. Right there. Steve on the West Side. All right. Coming up on the other side, Demetrius Harvey of the Florida Times Union will join us to recap not only the draft, but the kind of collective entirety of what they've done so far this offseason, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Dylan Denmark here with you. Demetrius Harvey on the other side on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Let's ring up another guest on the All-Pro Roofing phone line.
Jaguars Today
on 1010XL.
All right, time to continue our look back all week long and what the Jags have done, not only in the draft, but this offseason as a whole, but primarily with a focus on last week's NFL draft. Oh, man, it hasn't even been a week yet.
Yeah.
Seems like it's been a while. Demetrius Harvey of the Florida Times Union joins us here on 1010XL. Good morning, Demetrius.
Good morning. Do you guys think it's time for the Jaguars to consider moving on from Trevor Lawrence?
God, stop.
Going with Mac Jones.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no. Why would they do that when C.J. Beathard is here ahead of Mac Jones?
One season where we all had expectations for Trevor where we thought he may be good enough going into year three to be in the MVP conversation, and all he was good enough to do was play hurt for the entire back half of the season. They win 9 games. And people are saying maybe it's time to move on. To me, it's craziness out here.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's almost like, you know, the Jaguars didn't pick up Trevor's fifth year option; they did pick up Max. So that's how it feels, at least.
All right, so Demetrius, let's move on from this stupidity, okay? honestly, and what move surprised you the most by the Jags in this draft?
Surprised me. I guess. I was a little bit surprised that they didn't go ahead and just take a corner at pick 17, or even when they traded down, you know, taking Terry Arnold. I was kind of surprised they went the Brian Thomas direction. I wasn't necessarily surprised by the pick, but more just the circumstances. I didn't anticipate both corners being on the board for them to take in terms of Quinyon Mitchell and Terry Arnold, and then them going Brian Thomas. So that was something that kind of surprised me a little bit.
Personally, did you like the value that they got in a guy like Mason Smith in the second round?
In terms of value, I mean, it's really hard to say. You know, everybody seemed to have him, you know, third round, you know, a little bit later because of his play in 2023. But to me, a guy with his measurables and what he projects to be and what he showed in 2021, and I actually covered his recruitment a little bit. You know, he was choosing between Florida Gators and LSU, ultimately chose LSU, obviously. But coming out of high school, this guy was dominant and clearly was going to be an impact player. So when you talk about value, I feel like a player of his caliber with his athleticism, his size, his traits, and his potential, the second round, you know, about the middle of the second round is not that far off. And to me, they weren't going to get another shot at him. It's not like he was going to be there at 96. I mean, I would bet a lot of money that he wouldn't last outside of the second round at that pace because of the defensive tackles going off the board right before and after. So to me, the value was fine. I don't really have too much of an issue with it. It's just a big risk because you're taking on a guy who you don't necessarily know that he's going to be able to get back to that 2021 form.
No, you don't. You know, it is. Mm-hmm. You sit there at 48, though. You're right. They don't have a pick till 96. And you can say, well, slide back. Well, you got to have somebody that wants to move up at that point in time. And if there's no offers coming in, you know, you're kind of stuck. and you take the guy you want. I'm not saying it's the right pick, but I can absolutely see how they didn't want to risk losing him, particularly if they didn't have many other guys at that position that they had as highly rated. Demetrius, we heard about the Jags trying to trade back up into the first round and maybe early in the second round as well. You know, there's the contingent out there say Balky just can't get a deal done trying to move up because he didn't have any friends. And, you know, then you could also argue that, well, you know, it takes two to tango, obviously. So what did you make of their efforts to move up, and what do you think they were looking to do?
Yeah, I mean, the Trent Baalke doesn't have friends or whatever narrative, I'm really confused about that. I really wish that somebody would actually report it with sources or something. Otherwise, it's just, I don't know, fan fiction. But, you know, for them to move up, it seems like Trent has a very, you know, he holds his picks close to his chest. You know, he's a guy who's not going to give up a second-round pick, you know, in the same way the Rams might have. You know, he has value and he has his own chart. He doesn't work off the Jimmy Johnson chart. He works off whatever chart that they've come up with. So to me, their efforts to move up and probably try to get one of those corners, I can imagine maybe a Kool-Aid McKinstry, a Cooper DeJean, you know, around that sort of place. But, you know, it didn't work out. And I don't necessarily think that it was a failure for them not to move up. I didn't think that they needed to do so. Obviously, you know, being able to get one of the top tier corners would have helped them out a lot. But, you know, staying put, they actually were able to get some stuff done, the defensive tackle and then the cornerback in round three.
Outside of Brian Thomas, who I would assume would top this list for you, but who do you think will be the most impactful rookie for the Jags this year from the draft?
Yeah, and maybe I'm a little bit more high on him than seems like everybody, but Jarian Jones, to me, feels like a perfect player to come in right away, instantly upgrade your nickel position. I feel like he has all of the traits. He has the man-to-man skills, which I know that, you know, Ryan Nielsen says they're going to split between zone and man and, you know, whatever the case may be, they're going to be playing man a lot. And so I just feel like him getting in there, a seasoned guy from college, you know, I know he didn't play in the slot all 5 years, but he's played 5 years in college or four and some change, whatever you want to put it. But I really do think Jarian Jones can come in and actually make an impact right away. I think that they needed to get a guy who can play nickel in his first year at the very least. And I feel like this guy might be a long-term answer there.
All right, so outside of the kicker, Cam Little, who do you think ultimately helps his team the most? Not necessarily just this year, but after the third round?
After the third round, I really got to go with Jabon Foster out of Missouri. I feel like, you know, I was screaming at you. I know you guys were talking about it. You know, the offensive line needed to get reshaped. You know, Cam Robinson on a one-year deal, Walker Little on a one-year deal. Antoine Harrison obviously is going to be there for a very long time, but where do you put him? And so Jamon Foster comes in, and I feel like he's a perfect swing tackle this year, regardless of whatever they do with Cam, whether they want to move on from him and start Walker Little at left tackle or whatever the case may be, he's going to be their third or fourth tackle, Jamon Foster. And I feel like, you know, it depending on how he develops and all of the numbers and everything, you know, everything everybody says about him seems to point to, he has potential to be a starting level tackle in the NFL. And if you can go ahead and move Anton back to left tackle, put Jabon Foster at right tackle, I feel like that makes the most sense. So he's probably in terms of the day three picks, he's probably my favorite.
Our question of the day yesterday was along these lines, Demetrius. How would you grade the job that Trent Baalke has done through this offseason?
I haven't really thought about a grade before. So I would have to start out by saying that I think that what they did in free agency was necessary. I thought that they had to move on from Rayshon Jenkins. They had to move on from Darius Williams because he wasn't going to fit the scheme. You know, they had to move on from Foley Fatakasi. He just, you know, was injured too often. He had, you know, he just wasn't that great of a player for what they paid. So I thought that those moves made sense. And then bringing in guys like Darnell Savage, Eric Armstead, which is the big one for me, you know, that made sense. He actually went out and addressed the center position. Everyone cried about the center position. He went out and addressed it. And then he brought in Gabe Davis. I feel like the job that he's done this offseason is something that I thought we would see last offseason. Doesn't necessarily mean the moves that he made, because I know that they couldn't go out and get free agents, but ensuring that all of these holes and all of these positions of need, we're talking wide receiver, offensive line, defensive tackle, cornerback, I feel like, you know, all of these positions of need, they actually did go out and fill. And so to me, that's a pretty good offseason. I mean, you go in the draft and you have a need at wide receiver, you have a need at corner or nickel, whichever one you want to say, and they went out and addressed the defensive line, they addressed it, even kicker. So to me, the grade has to be around a B. You know, I don't know what would constitute an A, probably just going out and getting some star receiver, maybe like a T. Higgins or a Brandon Ayuk. If they could have performed that trade, it would maybe bump it to an A just based off of sheer just based off the fact that you know that they're going to make an impact next year. But, you know, the offseason that he had, probably a B.
All right. We were asking people today, Demetrius, where they would like to see a little depth come into play. Like if the Jags were to go out and make a play for somebody, mm-hmm. where do you think the Jags would look and say, you know, all right, we filled a lot of needs in the draft, but boy, if we could add one more here, we would like to do this, regardless of what the fans think.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that pass rusher is something that they're going to look into. It makes sense. They only went out and got Travis Gibson. Yasir Abdullah, I'm still interested to see where he fits in the defense. I know a lot of people say linebacker, but, you know, there are smaller defensive ends that have come out in the past. I'm not saying that it's a formula, but it has happened. So I do think that pass rusher, cornerback, I think the positions that everybody else knows about and thinks about, those are the two areas that I could see them adding a veteran later down the line, probably around training camp, because most of these guys, I mean, you guys follow the league, they don't really want to sign before training camp starts. So I could see something around that time. But other than that, you know, I feel like as far as depth goes, they're pretty solid. You know, the wide receiver position looks pretty good. The safety room looks pretty deep. You know, running back, offensive line looks okay. Quarterback, you know, so I think that all of this is fine. You know, basically cornerback, defensive end, something around there.
After the schedule gets released next week, we'll all play the win-loss game based on the order of the schedule. But as of right now, Demetrius, and this is a question we'll probably come back to several times throughout the offseason, but what are your early expectations for the Jags in 2024?
Yeah, I expect them to make the playoffs. I expect them to go probably in that 9, 10, 11 win range. You know, this is a team that made the playoffs just 2 years ago. They were 8-3 last year before the collapse, you know, before they lost Christian Kirk, before Trevor Lawrence really got hurt. And so I have a hard time feeling like, oh, this is definitely going to be a down year. They're playing off of a second place schedule. You know, all of this stuff factors in, and I feel like it's not going to be as daunting as it may seem, just because a lot of people want to judge just the last five games of the season. I do feel like 9, 10, 11 wins and an AFC South title is still in the cards.
What can we get for Trevor in August if we need a little depth in the pass rush rotation? Do you think we could get like a Kyle Van Noy level guy or something like that?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. You might have to.
Most people's quarterback room is already settled at that point, you're telling me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You might get a conditional 2026 seventh.
I mean, honestly, like,
I want to go further.
I get Demetrius. Fans are fans. They're going to be angry when, you know, my team didn't win at all. So, they're so angry. But what do you make of, like, nobody can really believe that this is going to happen. That they're, like, they are so entrenched in the next 5 to 10 years in terms of mentally planning having Trevor Lawrence here, that what do you make of this kind of continued feeling that's out there?
Yeah, I mean, if I want to play extremely good faith in all of their arguments, you know, Trevor had the most turnovers in the league last year, I think 21. He's had, I think, the second most or the most turnovers in the league since he started in 2021. And so when you look at that and you look at the inconsistencies, you can kind of visualize a fan going, especially near the end of the stretch, which is going to be in the forefront of your mind because it's the last few games of the season. You can see them saying, well, is this really the guy? And then at that point, you're looking at this offseason where they're going to pay him. And now all of a sudden they're going to pay $300 million to this quarterback that you don't know is really the guy. And so I think that it's more so the fact that they have it's a combination of a recency bias where Trevor didn't really perform that well, And then also just looking big picture, they didn't make the playoffs. There, it seems like there's not that much going for the team right now because everybody's kind of sad about last year. And I can see an idea of, hey, maybe this isn't the guy. Maybe we should wait. But other than that, I agree with you guys. It just seems silly.
What was your reaction to the release of Zay Jones?
I wasn't surprised at all. I thought maybe they could carry him and just have, you know, hey, it's a reliable guy who can come in, say Brian Thomas gets hurt, Gabe Davis gets hurt, they can plug and play. But the more I thought about it and the more you look at all these depth charts around the league, these wide receivers 4, 5, and 6 that are on those teams, if they're not playing special teams, they must be a special player. And to me, I think that Zay Jones is a guy that just doesn't play special teams. Not because he would refuse, but they just don't put him there. And you know, he's getting up there in age and the injuries last year. So it wouldn't make sense to project him as a special teamer this year anyway. And then you're paying all of that money. So factor all that in. It makes sense to go ahead and move on from Zay. Give him an opportunity, too, to go out and get somewhere before training camp starts. So I think for both sides, it kind of made sense.
Yeah, I don't – like, if I'm a GM, man, my last concern is when Zay Jones can find his next team.
That's
quite
fair.
Frank.
Yeah.
Like, I would have kept him here. Just – it's – the cap doesn't matter at this point. You got plenty of cap space, and you could have an injury between now and September. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know. I would have just hung on to him with an idea that, you know, this is why we're doing it. And if somebody wants to step up and give us a late round pick next year, sure, maybe I'll flip him. But
and it could have been the case that the Jaguars did shop him. They could have shopped him, and no one wanted to buy.
Oh, I assume they did, right? Know. Yeah. Anytime you're going to release a guy, I just, you know, like in that. If that's the case, like, at least he knows your offense, you know, who's that? Like, if you get an injury now, I guess you could always go back to him. I don't know what the rush is going to be to sign Zay Jones. But anyway, all right, Demetrius, great work by you. Continued great work covering in all aspects of the Jags. And now we'll start to see as rookie minicamp opens up who we can get excited about a la Tank Bigsby last year, right? So,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's that time of year. All right, Demetrius Harvey at Demetrius82 on X or Twitter, and of course in the pages of the Florida Times Union covering your Jacksonville Jaguars. All the best, bro.
All right, appreciate you guys.
Thank you, man. We'll talk soon with Demetrius Harvey. We certainly hope as we come back on the other side. Tony, let's look at today's poll question and where our thoughts lie on where the Jags could fortify this roster with a little bit of depth moving forward in the remainder of the offseason. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Dylan Denmark here with you. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, coming down the stretch here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Helmets and Heels will follow for the next couple of hours. Tom McManus will join us tomorrow. Give his thoughts on the draft and the offseason up to this point. Then we start to turn our attention to getting these guys on the field. Rookie minicamp coming up next week, and we move on, at least from the immediate aftermath of the draft. Somebody on Twitter here, Dre, says, edge rusher, who? Yannick Ngakoue? He's the best available. Help that O-line with more guys and more competition.
Who?
Yannick Ngakoue last year was the first year in his career to have at least 8 sacks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, I'll take Yannick Ngakoue. Now, do I think Yannick's going to come back to Jacksonville and swallow his pride and do that? No, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe, I don't know, man. Money talks, I guess, right? And whatever, if you don't have any other options. But like Demetrius Harvey just said, Tony, a lot of these guys will be waiting until August anyway. The edge rush guys, like, injury happens or you just find out you're – guys aren't getting home enough in practice or in preseason, give us a call. And we'll skip all the offseason stuff, the OTAs, training camp as much as we possibly can.
Yeah. Look, people can vote however they want
sure
to.
Sure they can.
We included offensive line in the poll this
Absolutely.
Morning, right? It would be the last on my list by a pretty good distance between those other two. For me personally, and specifically because, look, they got 4 offensive tackles that are on the roster right now.
Right.
Right? Like, there's just nowhere else to add an offensive tackle to this roster. So if you're doing it, you're doing it at guard. Here are the free agent guards that are available. Dalton Risner, Phil Haynes, Greg Van Roten, Mark Glowinski. That's the top of the list. And free agent guards. I'm not saying those guys can't play, right, in the NFL, but saying we got to go get somebody to help us at guard.
There's not much out, right. There's not much out there. And, look, they just signed Ezra Cleveland.
Right.
So he's locked in as your left guard.
Yes.
Okay? They just signed Mitch Moore. So your center's locked in. And, you know, I know nobody wants Luke Fortner to have to play, but if he does, at least he's got 2 full years of starting experience.
Yeah. You compare the impact of signing one of those guys to if they figured out a way to sign Yannick Ngakoue. Are you kidding me?
Well, I mean, look, that's right. Like, I agree with that. But,
right.
Like, it's more the other thing. Like, have you, when you say this is the only name out there, there's worse names, is your point on offensive line. And at right guard, so right guard would be the one spot. Well, you've already restructured Brandon Sheriff's deal. Like, they're pot committed. He's going to open the season as a starter, or at least open training camp as a starter. And I think they want to see how Cooper Hodges develops. And, oh, by the way, they re-signed Shatley. They've got their line is what it's going to be, basically. Now, again, the question wasn't what do you think they're going to do? The question is what would you like them to do? So if you would like them to add offensive line, that's fine.
That's fine.
You know, but, yes, I agree with you. Like, the dismissive of well, come on, Unique. How good is he? Well, he's better than any offensive lineman out there at what he does.
Yes.
And again, do I think that it would work out to where Yannick Ngakoue would take a lesser role coming off the bench and go through all the questions of this and that?
Hadn't been willing to do it yet.
Right. Yeah. He's been a starter everywhere he's gone, and people have paid him the money to do it. Now, but if you said for $5 million you can add a free agent who's out there, I might take Xavien Howard at the top, because then I'm looking at some real competition at the starting spots there. Like, even if you sign Jan, it's great if you have an injury. Well, you can have an injury at corner, too.
Absolutely. Okay?
And the guy I sign might actually win the job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think there are enough corners out there that could come in here and win a job starting for this team. I don't see – not going to happen with edge rush. You have got your guys,
and
you should have your guys.
Yeah, when you look at it from the – if you had an injury, right, in the – among the Jags' top three corners right now, so Campbell, Darby, Savage, let's assume those are the three. If you had an injury at nickel, okay, Jarian Jones steps into the lineup, and he may be able to fight and win that job anyway.
He might be your starter.
Right, but if it's one of the two outside guys, well, now you're talking Monteric Brown, Christian Braswell, De'Andre Prince, right? Like, that's the depth they have at those outside corner spots. It's not that they don't have anyone else that may be able to play on the outside. Maybe Jones gives them some value.
Now we're talking about that guy. It's not just in the rotation. Now that guy's covering T. Higgins.
Right.
And right? Tyson's on Jamar.
Absolutely.
And this guy's on T. Higgins.
And
that's
better
the level
believe,
of player you got to cover.
And you better believe in the NFL, they'll look at that matchup and say, this is the one we got to go after today.
All day.
Right? Like, that's how the NFL works. And it would be similar, right? If Allen or Walker were to get hurt, then yeah. You look at what they're having to put on the field, it's the same kind of Abdullah
my
has
opinion,
to start.
My opinion, if the push is as improved as I hope it is with Eric Armstead and partially with Mason Smith in the middle, but Armstead being a huge part of this, then I think they can get by, you know, maybe a couple games without Travis Gibson. More than they would get by without Ronald Darby at this present state.
Totally agree.
That's how I feel about it. Not everyone does. Obviously, 48.5% say edge rush. And look, we asked the question, were they to add a free agent for depth? And so you can look at it purely that way. I'd like to have a better third option at outside corner right now. A more veteran, proven option at outside corner.
I think adding depth on the edge is a much more impactful addition, barring the injuries. Right? Like, if you add a guy who really can't come in and be your third guy, right, in that rotation, whether it's John or somebody else, right, if you're adding that kind of guy that can play 40-45% of your defensive snaps week to week, as compared to a corner that he may have a major impact for you if we have to sit somebody down, right?
Maybe, but again,
is okay.
I think if it's the right guy, he may win the job.
I agree.
There's that possibility. Now, maybe they don't agree. Maybe they identified Ronald Darby, you know, in all things considered, and what they're willing to spend and the type of player they're looking for, the fit in Ryan Nielsen's defense, that he is as good as what's out there, and he's going to come cheaper. And again, I don't think Xavien Howard's coming in here for $3 million.
No.
Right? So, but would I like to add him? If I could, I'm putting the price aside, here's what I would like to add. I would like to add a corner because I think there are enough out there that could actually compete to win a starting job. And that is going to impact you more than your third pass rusher. If he's out there 90% of the snaps, you know, if he's able to stay healthy, whoever that is. Edge rush getting 48.5, 33.2 going to corner, 16.5 going offensive line. Something else, which I misspelled. Drop the E. Drop the E in there. Something else. Got 1.9. If I'd spelled it right, it would have got a full 2, I think. More people would have gone with that. They were embarrassed to have to vote for a misspelled word. Is probably how that went. And the funny thing is, many of the people replying think if you didn't pick the one that they picked, you're absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
Like, now, I just told a bunch of people they're absolutely nuts this morning, okay? But there
are... Those are nuts.
That's because those people are nuts. That's because they think that the Jags need to be making the succession plan for, if not this offseason, next offseason, surely, for the Trevor Lawrence quarterback spot.
They are in kind of a weird spot where they do have all that money that's available to them, and I would be really surprised if they would be willing to spend it on Xavier Howard, right? It's not that I would disagree with making that move. I would just be surprised if Trent Baalke would be willing to spend the kind of money it would take to bring in a guy like Xavier Howard, as opposed to, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they add another corner. You know, at this point in the process, somebody that can kind of fill in the back half of their depth chart, potentially at corner, I'd be surprised that they're willing to spend the money to bring in a guy that would be perceived as a starter when he got here.
Well, to be fair as well, Xavier Howard's not the player he was.
Not quite.
At least not in the last couple of years that he was at his peak. But he's still only like 31 years old at this stage, so he's not ancient by any stretch of the imagination, but he hasn't been the productive playmaker in the last couple of years that he was early. He had 2 picks combined in the last 2 years, and that's in 28 starts. So, you know, maybe they're looking at the film and they're saying, you guys are nuts. You don't know what you're talking about. But in the previous 4 years, he led the NFL in interceptions twice.
Yeah.
And his calling card was press man coverage, which the Jags are planning to play a lot more of. He had a 5-year stretch where he had 4-7-1. And that was a season where he was limited to 5 games due to injury. Mm-hmm. So 4-7 in a 12 games season that he managed. Then he came back, played 16, had 10 picks, led the league. Then he had 5 in the next season in 2021, made the Pro Bowl probably on rep more in 2022. But that he's made the Pro Bowl 4 times as recently as 2022. Mm. But the last 2 years have, you know, just looking at the raw numbers, have not been as good. I have not broken down the film on Xavier Howard, obviously. And, you know, again,
I've seen whatever snaps I've seen of him when Miami's on TV, and I'm not watching him when I'm doing it.
And quite frankly, like a lot of us like Jarian Jones, right? Mm-hmm. Chad Ryder said he had him graded higher than where he ended up getting picked. Tony Pauline was the opposite. He thought he liked some other corners better, thought he should have maybe gone in the 4th round, but he loved DeAndre Prince.
Yeah.
He thought he was a fantastic pick. So you got these 2 young guys with the other young guys you have on the roster. You just have, boy, again, like I truly feel you could miss a month of Trayvon Walker and get by right now better than you could missing a month of Tyson Campbell. I do, you know, and I hope they got enough back there. I really do. I hope they got enough everywhere. I hope they got enough at edge. I hope they got enough on the offensive line. Chances are they don't, right? Because that's the nature of a 53-man roster. Yeah. You're not going to be perfect everywhere. So, all right, that's where things stand anyway with the Jaguars Today program for the day. We thank Demetrius Harvey for joining us here in this hour and Tony Pauline as well from Sports Keto a little bit earlier. Tom McManus will take his usual slot on the panel tomorrow and we'll look back on the week that was. Look, if you want to make a reasonable case for why the Jags should move on from Trevor Lawrence, you can try. But just know, we don't think there's much of a reasonable case to be made. And we're not saying he's great, that he's perfect, that he's but damn, you could do a hell of a lot worse at the age of 24. And with all the investment they've already got, I mean, it's I don't – to rational Jaguar fans out there, I don't need to explain this.
No.
So
let me sign off and assume that the majority of you are rational. All right, that'll do it for us today. Again, thanks to our guests, for Tony and Dylan. I'm Mike Dempsey. Thank you for tuning in to Jaguars Today, and stick around for Helmets and Heels coming up next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.